Lord Jesus, we thank you. You have come into the world, and through your Spirit, you are here with us now. We ask that you would show us more and more of the revelation of yourself and help us to take your light into the world. We ask it in your name. Amen. Please sit down. Were you given a little piece of paper when you came in that had three words on it? And I've given it to you because I want you to take that away and remember those three words, which we will come to. But first of all, do you remember Christmas? Because I was going to say we've made it to February, because January is definitely the longest month of the year. I'm sure it has at least 70 days or more. Christmas was 40 days ago. And we'll see in a moment, as we've probably already heard, that this is relevant. However, it does now mean there are only 325 shopping days left until next Christmas, so get prepared. As I said in my introduction, Candlemas marks the end of the Christmas season, 40 days after we celebrated the birth. Some traditions indeed leave the Christmas decorations up until this Sunday, till Candlemas, notably Her Majesty the late Queen Elizabeth II. But before we move out of this Christmas season, it's always good, I think, to reflect again on the astounding miracle that is the Incarnation. It's all too easy to just let that float over us without perhaps really taking on board what it meant. God himself squeezing into human form and being bound and restricted in a way that Jesus had never been. And he did it in order to totally identify with our own human condition and, of course, to die in our place so we don't have to. So we come to my three words that I want you to remember. Revelation, purification, and illumination. First of all, revelation. Well, I said to you 3 weeks ago, the whole Epiphany season is about revelation of who this baby and this man from Nazareth actually is. Remembering today Mary and Joseph taking the baby Jesus to the temple 40 days after he was born, in accordance with the Jewish law, taking your firstborn son, presented and designated as holy to the Lord. Also a lovely act of thanksgiving and offering back the gift from God to God. And then these two amazing people, Simeon and Anna. Simeon had such faith, described, as we heard, as righteous and devout. And he'd been assured through the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And so he waited. We don't know how long he waited, but I have a feeling it was quite a long time. And he must have seen hundreds of babies being brought up to the temple by their parents. I can almost imagine him asking each time, is this the one? Or is it this one? But now, guided by the Holy Spirit, he knew this child was the one. And he praised God with these memorable words. I can go now because I've seen your salvation. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. Things that he would actually himself probably never see. And yet, in faith, he knew they would happen. And of course, he warned Mary, as we heard at the end of the Gospel, how a sword would pierce her own soul as well. Then Anna, the old lady, the prophet, in her mid-80s, which at the time was a great age, she never left the temple. And she came over and she recognized the child as the Messiah. And so it's in this act of obedience to the law, Mary and Joseph offered their newborn son back to God. And God revealed through these two amazing people, this baby was the chosen one who would redeem not just God's people, the Jews, but also the Gentiles. Revelation. And Jesus goes on revealing himself today as he has for the last 2,000 years. And it's often in surprising and amazing ways. There are so many people who have said how Jesus revealed himself to them, even often when they weren't actually looking for him. And for many Christians, when we can get a bit stale or wander away from God, he will reveal himself afresh to us. Because that's what he wants to do, continually to reveal who he is to us and to all people. Because, of course, he loves us and wants to save us from the inevitable result of our sinfulness. Purification. Well, the other part of that visit to the temple was for Mary to be purified. Because under Old Testament law, a woman was ritually unclean after the birth of a child for 40 days. And this is where the sacrifice comes in for the ritual purification of Mary. She goes from being unclean and unacceptable to God to being ceremonially washed clean by the blood of that sacrifice. It's actually no different for us. Before we were Christians, we were unclean, lost in our brokenness and sinfulness and unacceptable to God. Because, of course, he is utterly holy and pure, and we are utterly unholy and impure. However, now there is no need for the animal sacrifice, because the sacrifice has already been made on our behalf by Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. And as we so often say, it's by his blood that we are made clean. In our reading from Malachi, Malachi foresees the Messiah presented in the temple and likens him to the refiner's fire, that process of refining gold and silver, where the fire melts the impure metal and separates the dross from the pure and the precious gold or silver. And the dross is simply poured away. The pure is left. That needs to happen to us, doesn't it? Might sound a bit unpleasant and scary, but our dross needs to be poured away so that the pure comes through. And if we're Christians, that process has happened and is ongoing. When we gave ourselves to Jesus, we are washed in the blood of the sacrifice. We're made pure and holy. However, I hope I hear you saying, but I'm not pure and holy. No, nor am I. But I want to say to you that in God's eyes, we are. So an analogy which I like is that whilst we are in our inner souls pure and holy, in the flesh, we're living in a sinful, dark and dirty world. And by living in it, we get dirty hands, we get dirty feet. Because we're immersed in the dirt that surrounds us. And so there's always that need for ongoing washing and ongoing purification. Not of our inner souls, but of our bodies, our minds. And so we need to continually confess. I'd recommend that as soon as you know you've done something wrong, that's the time to confess it. Don't wait for the evening or for Sunday, because then the dirt is washed off. It doesn't get a chance to get ground in and to stain. Illumination. Well, it's all through this season of Christmas and Epiphany, light is a central theme. Jesus is the light of the world. A light to lighten the Gentiles. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. And then from that Christmas gospel, the first chapter of John, in him was life, and that life was the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone has come into the world. And as a symbol of that, we've lit the Paschal candle, a sign of the light of Christ that's come into the world. And later on, we will each be lighting candles from the Paschal candle, from that same light, symbolically that we take the light of Christ from him to us and then out into the world. We are to be light bearers in the dark places. Jesus reminded us the darkness will not overcome the light. It will try. It has tried very hard. This week we remembered the Holocaust and the liberation of Auschwitz. The darkness that swept through Europe so recently, really. One nation trying to obliterate another. A nation who blamed the others for all their woes. And yet, still, we have war in Europe. Still, there are wars across the world. Still, we see one group or nation blaming another for all its woes. I suspect and fear that darkness will go on trying to blot out the light. And I say, thank you, Lord, that it will never be able to do so, because the inextinguishable light has come into the world. So remember Candlemas. Remember revelation, purification, and illumination. Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple in obedience and for their purification, where he was then revealed as the Messiah and the illuminator of the world. Jesus is revealed as the Son of God, Saviour, Redeemer, and above all, our friend. And he will go on revealing himself to those he loves. And of course, he loves all humanity. But with so much humanity in darkness, it can be very hard in that dark place to see the revelation. And so, as I said, we are called to be illuminators. We are called to be light bearers, carrying the light of Christ into the darkness that's all around us. And we must continually place ourselves before God in repentance to allow his purification to go on. I'm always reminded that whenever we receive bread and wine at communion, these symbols tell us that we are in him and he is in us. Revelation, purification, and illumination. Amen.